fitness industry is big business. One in every seven adults in the UK is a member of a gym, equating to a market value of £4.4 billion, and these numbers are rising. But there's no doubt many professionals see the future online, and that market is harder to quantify. Consider the body coach Joe Wicks. He's got 150,000 subscribers on YouTube, translating into serious advertising revenue. And vegan cook Deliciously Ella, with 130,000 Twitter followers and the fastest selling cookbook in the UK ever. The internet's made personal training, exercise programs, and nutrition advice more accessible and more affordable. In many cases, it's free. But are we as consumers getting good quality advice? Is it safe? Why did you decide to do the Insanity program?
I first started doing the Insanity program because a friend of mine had done it, and my husband decided to get it for me as a present. So that's how it first started, but also because I didn't want to join a gym, because I thought it could have been a waste of money because all I did was run outside. So I did the Insanity for a change, really.
And how did you find it? Was it easy to follow?
Yeah, really easy to follow. Really easy to follow, actually, because they had a few people demonstrating at the front. But I was slightly concerned I was doing all the exercises correctly.
Did you ever do anything and feel like you were picking up an injury? Or
Not an injury, but there was definitely a point when I was doing press-ups that I didn't think I was doing it right, because I felt like I was slightly pulling a muscle. So I stopped doing that part of the programme.
So would you do that again, or would you rather have a personal trainer that can show you the way to do the exercises properly?
Well, I really like the idea of being able to do it at home. That was the nice point about it. I personally prefer a personal trainer just because I think it's one-on-one and they can tell me if I'm doing anything wrong. But it was definitely good, and I definitely saw changes in my body from doing it, because I did it religiously for about 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks in a row. And I definitely saw changes, but then when that had finished, I decided I couldn't be bothered to do it anymore, and it just came to the end.
So if you'd had a personal trainer, you would have kept going, I guess?
I think so, because I probably would have done it less. If I was doing a personal trainer, I might have done it once or twice a week, rather than feeling I had to do this Insanity 5 days a week.
That was stay-at-home mum Georgina Bryson. She's had success with an online workout video despite some concerns about technique. Well, next I went to meet personal trainer Chris Cann to hear what he thinks about internet-based exercise programmes.
Hi, I'm Chris Cann and I am 39 years old. I'm a personal trainer and I'm really into nutrition and helping people trying to lose weight, get fit and be more healthy.
So I would say that personal training, particularly in the gym, is quite a traditional form of exercise and getting fit. So would you agree with that?
Depends on the person and where they've come from and what it is that they're trying to train for. In my opinion, a good personal trainer doesn't do the same thing with every client. Most clients will train in a completely different way.
There are a lot of new exercise programs coming out that are online based. So yeah. You can either watch a video online or download something looking purely exercise to start with, as opposed to diet. Do you think that these are safe programs for people to do? I mean, clearly they're not going to have a personal trainer or anyone guiding them. You know, they're in their front room or in their bedroom watching these programs. What's your thoughts on those?
I think a lot of the exercise videos that are out there are unsafe. Proper focus isn't spent on technique. It's all about volume, high intensity exercise. And in my mind, most people that do these types of videos aren't actually ready to be doing high intensity exercise. They're not ready to be jumping around on the floor, putting a lot of extra impact through the joints, the knee, the ankle, the hip. there's massive potential for injury. And when you get injuries, it stops people from participating and it keeps them out of training for longer than they're in it. The expectations people have are unrealistic. And there is research that shows that when you get very, very fast gains, you fall off the wagon just as easily and actually end up in a worse place than you were before you started.
What if someone said to you, that's all very well and good, but I can't afford personal training sessions. Surely it's better to be getting fit and doing something. What would you say to that?
I would say yes, but probably be very careful with what you choose. I'm probably going to be launching some sort of online program myself, but it will be something that's progressive and works into things gently, allows the muscle to adapt and the joints to adapt as you go forwards through a training program, hopefully changing for a long period of time, not just making very quick, very rapid gains and injuring yourself.
Obviously, you acknowledge yourself that having an internet presence is important and it's what you're using to build your business.
Yes, for sure.
So how are you going to ensure that you keep your clients safe through your internet presence?
It's a really difficult one because not everybody is going to interact with what you do. You can have, I guess perhaps there's going to have to be some sort of auto check-in thing in terms of, say, for example, we've got John who's signed up to my program. I'll have to call him in and say, John, we haven't seen anything from you from X amount of time. Can you send us a few pictures of what you're up to with your food and, you know, if there's any exercise, how are you getting on with it? Obviously, that will be done anyway. I'd imagine we'll be contacting that person and asking him how he's getting on. But really, it's dependent. Internet stuff is dependent on the person that's doing the internet program getting in touch.
So, having met and spoken to Chris, it was time to speak to someone at the other end of the spectrum. Scott Laidler is well known in the health and fitness world. In fact, on his website, he claims to be the world's leading online personal trainer. So, what did Scott have to say about all this?
It's a different experience. It's not, online personal training is more of a blueprint. So, it's not the accountability that, you know, the personal trainer is going to be waiting for you at the gym. They're going to be on your, you know, over your shoulder saying two more reps. It's not that kind of accountability, but it's the blueprint. It's an opportunity to work with, you know, what you might deem a high level personal trainer, and that you can seek out based on their following and based on the work they've done online and through media. You can seek out that particular personal trainer if you feel like that personality is a good fit for you. They will give you the blueprint to follow and you trust their expertise that they've customized the program enough for you that you will achieve your goals and you can kind of correct course as you go along via Skype or email. Whereas one-on-one personal training, obviously it's excellent for motivation, it's excellent for accountability, but that chemistry and whether it's going to work and how good you think the personal trainer is always a bit of a risk up front unless it's come as a recommendation. Do you know what I mean? So you might go into a gym, you might work with a particular personal trainer, but that personal trainer may start showing up late or you might not find that your personality clicks. So there's advantages and disadvantages and there's risks either way in terms of chemistry. I don't mean safety, but I mean in terms of chemistry. So it's an equivalent service, but it's not exactly the same. It's a different kind of fitness package, really, but it can still get you to the end goal.
You did just mention safety. I mean, is there, obviously, people that see you in person, you can correct them if they're doing an exercise wrong, if their posture's wrong. That's presumably not the same when it's online. So how do you get around that?
So every one of the exercises I recommend has a, when you log into my system, you have a video guide and teaching points for every exercise. But if somebody's got no weightlifting experience, for example, I say, look, I'm giving you a blueprint. You should go to a gym and make sure that you've got the correct technique for these exercises. So generally, they can book one session with a trainer or a fitness instructor at the local gym, and they can take them through the exercises. They can take them through my workout, but just make sure that the program, the exercise form is perfect.
My final stop was to talk with the CEO of Sports Coaches UK, Mark Gannon. They oversee the Register of Exercise Professionals and are the largest accreditor of personal trainers in the UK.
Do you regulate online personal trainers?
Well, it's difficult to do because if you're on a register and you've already declared yourself as part of a register, there are certain standards, if you like, that are set. Whereas if you're someone that's providing activity online who's not registered, then they might not have gone through the same protocol. So there's not necessarily governance over who puts what online, and particularly in terms of apps that are available in various downloads. So then someone providing an app might not necessarily be on the exercise professional register.
So I've spoken to a couple of personal trainers. They've both sort of said, similar to what you're saying, I suppose, that a lot of it is personal responsibility. So if you choose to go online, then you need to have some knowledge and you need to take responsibility for what you're doing. That's basically what you're saying, I guess?
I think it's fair enough. If you have an understanding, it can match your motivation and not be too unrealistic, i.e. you've got to be realistic about what you can achieve, then those things actually work quite well. And especially if you can determine they're from a reputable, you know, sort of provider. So the triathlon stuff I've got is from a triathlon magazine that's online. So they are the experts in their area. So I guess it's if you take those things from the experts, physical activity or physical training is possibly a bit more difficult because there's so many providers.
Do you see that in the future you may look more at online regulation? Is that something in the future?
Well, I think the only way, it's very difficult to regulate online providers because anybody can put anything online. I think what we probably need to do as an industry is agree what the standard is, and the existing standard revolves around the reps criteria, but there might be an updated version of that, or reps might reinvigorate itself. But I think that's probably the kite mark that we need to make people more aware of, and that's only going to come through better marketing communication to explain what that is. So I guess like you would go and get somebody that looks after your boiler, you would want to go through a recognised provider of servicing, wouldn't you? And so the industry there has got some standards, and I guess what we need to do better as an industry is explain what those standards are and who's got that accreditation.
Exercise, fitness, striving to stay in shape, it's a huge part of our lives for many of us in the UK, and there are now plenty of options to do it. Online training is in its early stages, and as we've heard, it's not really regulated yet, meaning that the onus currently falls on us, the consumer, to take responsibility and make sure we push ourselves, just not too far. I'm Kelly Lucas, and this was The Gym in Your Front Room.